Welcome to Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise, podcast number 101. On April 24th, 2015, changing the world one ass at a time. Now, I have a surprise for you. Check this out. So we have another interview for everybody. I've got another interview with someone who loves pegging, and I'm going to try and do a bunch of these interviews with women and men so that you can all hear from people who have different experiences with pegging. And I think it's just a lovely thing to experience hearing someone else talk about what they love about it. So I'd like to welcome Sue to the podcast. Welcome, Sue.
Hi, Ruby.
I'm really glad that you decided to do this interview with me. We've been talking for a while, and actually Sue did call in a while back and left a voicemail that I played on one of my podcasts, and I forget to look back and which one that was, but we've heard from Sue before. So let's see, one of the first things that I wanted to kind of remind the listeners, because this is actually part of your journey, is why don't you tell us about how you got the implant thing and that story.
Oh, okay. Well, my husband had been being very patient for a long time because I had pretty much lost my desire. My libido was zippity-doo-dah. Mm-hmm. And I would go in and check in with my nurse practitioner, and, you know, she would ask me how things were going, and for a number of years. And about a year ago, I went in, and she told me that they had this new procedure that they could do. It was a hormone.
An implant, right?
Mm-hmm. And it's an implant, a tiny bit of testosterone and estradiol.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very simple procedure. All you basically have to do is, you know, pull your panties down and she gives you a little bit of numbness and then she does the implant, and it takes not even 5 minutes.
And, nice.
Within a month, my libido started to come back, and I was able to, I had a problem getting wet.
Uh-huh.
I always had to use a whole bunch of lube because I just couldn't get wet. And now with a certain, bit of foreplay, it's like not a problem anymore. And it was like a miracle for me, because that was one of the reasons why I wasn't interested much, because I just did not have any wetness. And,
right,
a big part of it.
Absolutely. How long have you and your husband been married?
23 years.
Right. And so sex, mm-hmm, before then wasn't a problem at all. You had a good time, and it just with the change of hormones is when it started happening that you lost your libido?
Pretty much, after I went through, menopause and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And of course we had kids, we had young, kids that are older now. And,
mm-hmm,
I really kind of thought that, my husband thought our sex life was over. And he was asking me, he told me before this all happened, he said he was about to ask me for a free pass.
Wow.
Because he had, he had needs. And
sure.
And I wasn't quite, fulfilling them. And I felt bad because I just didn't have any feeling at all. And I felt like, oh my God, I'm only 58 years old. Give me a break.
Mm-hmm.
That sex life can't be over.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did the implant. It was about a year ago, and that's right around the time that we started communicating more and talking with each other, which was spurred on by having read a book by another gal who's really helped us along with
Joan Price, right?
Joan Price, yeah. And her book, Naked at Our Age, really opened up. We were going on a little weekend getaway, and I read it out loud to him, and we were reading all these different stories about couples that you know, found their way back to each other or figured out, you know, what each other liked and needed and wanted. And so that opened up a whole conversation about, well, you know, he said, well, there's something that, you know, I've really wanted to try and that I've never had the courage to ask you about. And
oh my
so that's
gosh.
When we started talking about pegging. And mostly it was talking about prostate
pleasure.
And prostate pleasure. And so we didn't really talk about pegging then, but it was in the back of his mind. And then
how long had he been interested in that before he asked you?
Oh, I think a long time. Because he just basically was I think he was afraid that I would think that he was, you know, perverted or something,
you know.
And because I didn't even know what it was. I didn't know what pegging was. And, you know, he would joke about it, but I didn't get the joke, so to speak.
And, I see. And you were also not really happening with the hormones, too.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I just was like, you know, I wasn't really open to the possibility at that point, but I was open to just prostate massage and doing that. And that just sort of led one thing led to another. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, and then he told me about a podcast of yours.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a conversation about this the other day because we were both trying to remember how this all evolved. And his remembrance was a little bit different than mine, but he was really caught. He was on his way to a meeting, and I sent him a text and asked him if he wanted to be pegged.
Ooh.
And he was like, whoa, what happened here?
Business
like,
meeting?
Wanted to come home right then, but he was in a business meeting and he really didn't do that. But he came home and he's like, "What's up?" You know, and was well, more than one thing is up. But it just sort of, you know, evolved from talking to each other, and he shared with me that was something that he really wanted to try, and I just thought, well, you know, I wanted to please my man, and I was more than willing to try, and so we really started listening to your podcasts, like, a lot, and to get educated, and I would call you, and I would ask for your advice. And
yeah, you did.
You were so kind to kind of get us, you know, started on the right track.
Well, there's so much information in the beginning. There is so much information. And for people who, I love working with people who are both on the same page. That's my favorite because it's so much easier. My heart goes out to the guys out there who, before you were on board, like your husband, who are just kind of scared to talk about it, scared to approach it, and thinking they're going to get turned down or thinking they're going to get judged. That's the hardest one. And, you know, I wrote an article about that, about how to convince her to try it or whatever. But when a couple approaches me and they're both on board, they're like, okay, so like we're ready to do this. So just give us a little guidance here. Oh, that's easy. I love doing that. And I always love hearing the stories afterwards too. It's like, okay, here's the advice. And then write me back and tell me how it went.
Well, we have this big weekend plan that we were going out of town, and our kids were with us, but we were going to get a separate hotel room, and we kind of ordered a harness and stuff, a quickie kind of a thing, and we were really excited, and then we got where we were going, and my son got sick, and one thing led to another, and our big pegging weekend didn't happen. And
didn't even bring out the toys?
I don't even think we did, because it just didn't happen.
Right.
I can't even remember, but I think most of it was because I was worried about my son, who wasn't feeling well, and he had really bad headache. And So it was like, oh, well, so much for that. That happens so much when you have kids, you just kind of get used to it.
Yep.
But I think then the next weekend, and we were like, you know, we've never done it before, and we were really excited. And, of course, we wanted to, you know, follow all the right instructions that you,
sure.
you know, given us. And I was kind of in a rush because I was so excited and it was to see what this was going to feel like for him. And well, I guess I'll back up just a little bit because one of the things we did some really great experimenting with was the Enjoy.
The Pure Wand, yes.
The Pure Wand, yeah. And we did some experimenting with that lovely toy. And, I mean, it is a beautiful piece of art, actually. And,
it is, yes.
Yeah.
And so just with prostate stuff, you explored with that?
Right. And he was just loving that. He was like, his eyes rolled in the back of his head. He was really happy camper. And that really turned me on because I saw how pleasurable it was for him and how long he waited for that. And I was like, well, you know, so if this is good, then pegging's got to be even better. And
right. So that's what I was going to ask you was it then that you really got how pleasurable
yeah.
it could be? And my other question is, had he done any self-play before that?
Had he?
Right.
I don't think so.
So then he's been one of these guys that kind of fantasized about it and mm-hmm. just kind of really wanted to wait to try it out with you and didn't do any self-play beforehand.
Yeah. I don't think he did. We never really talked about that. But,
interesting.
But I don't think he did.
So you knew he loved the wand.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yes, I knew he loved the wand. We did that, like, I don't know, probably maybe 3 or 4 times.
Uh-huh.
And then he was kind of like, okay, let's move on to the next. Let's move on.
I am ready.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready. And so I was really ready too, but I was almost too ready because it kind of, it was like too fast.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And so we were all looped up and everything was gone, but I, instead of taking it really slow, which you need to
uh-huh.
at the beginning, I was, you know, and he's like, ow! You're hurting, you know. I'm like, oh
no.
My God, I'm sorry. And so then I slowed down and
uh-huh.
I really took my cues from him, and then it got better, and it was all good. But I was just really ready, you know, and I really wanted to make him happy, and it was a little bit too fast.
Sue was tapping into her inner man. Yes.
Yes. Well, and that's a whole nother story there is how, you know, you kind of, he and I were talking about it the other day, and he said, well, you kind of know how I feel when I'm, you know, inside you, and how that's, you know, I'm like, well, yeah, it's really kind of a empowering feeling of control. And
yes,
it's kind of cool. So, yeah.
And that drive to just, well, I just flat out call it just the drive to fuck a guy. Just, oh, because that's what it feels like. It's like, I just want to fuck you. And I consciously do find myself having to slow down. And mm-hmm. I thought, oh, this is what they go through.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, and when you think about it, I mean, when a man is fucking a woman, he starts out slow and builds and builds and builds, and that's kind of what you have to do when you're fucking in.
Yeah, ideally they do. The best ones do it that way, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, because then you really can tell. I mean, when I start hearing the moaning and
oh my God,
like,
I love that.
It's really a turn on. So,
uh-huh.
So yeah, yeah.
I heard some of that this weekend. I'm going to edit that right out of this interview. All right.
Oh, we'll have to talk about that afterwards.
I know, right? And so,
yeah.
Okay, so here's a question for you. If you could choose just one word to kind of encapsulate the whole experience of pegging that you've had with your husband thus far, what would that word be?
Oh, gosh.
It's hard to do just one, huh?
Yeah, it is. Exquisite?
Exquisite. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's a nice one.
It was, well, it's just that of control and power and ecstasy. I can't think of another word except that, because when you're pleasing your partner like that and you know that they're just out of their, having an out-of-body experience, it's just, I don't know, that just is kind of, that word just popped into my head because it was just, you know, I knew he wanted to do that for so long and he waited for so long, and I came around and realized how fabulous it feels to take him and see him so happy. And he just is such a wonderful man, and I love him so much. And I'm just really happy that I could, you know, it was just an exquisite feeling to make him feel so happy and so good. And yeah.
So have you guys done G-spot play with you?
Yeah, we're sort of, as you put it in, I think, one of your podcasts, priming the pump.
Oh, yeah, right, right.
I think it's really important that he focuses on one part of me and not two at the same time. And I think he wants me to have a G-spot orgasm. So he'll be like, you know, licking my clit and got his finger trying to find my G-spot. And instead of just concentrating on one or the other, he's doing both. And I think I told him the last time that we were making love that I said, you know, I think you just need to concentrate on like either the G-spot or the clit, but not both. And he's like, oh, okay. So, you know, just talking to each other about it is really important. But also the latex gloves are a fabulous invention because they have so many versatile uses. And when he's finding my G-spot and doing the come hither motion and all that, with a latex glove on, it just makes all the difference in the world for comfort and feeling really good.
That's so interesting. You know, I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that the feeling of having fingers inside you was just so nice and sort of different a little bit and pleasurable because of gloves. And is that, that's what you're saying, right?
Yeah. Oh, I've just found that when he doesn't use a glove, it feels kind of rough and not very comfortable. But when he puts a latex, and we bought books for each other, and he's got this one book about pleasing a woman, and I've got one about the, you know, the finding the G-spot and all that good stuff. But he said, "Well, I'm reading that book you gave me, and it says to wear a latex glove."
So how interesting!
Kind of makes the process a little bit smoother.
Yeah. So, did you guys try the Enjoy Pure Wand on you with the G-spot?
I did myself once. I was just having some self pleasure. I was kind of practicing, I guess. I was trying to see it, you know, and it didn't happen for me, and I was kind of disappointed. But, you know, I figured, well, you know, if this works, you don't succeed, try and try again.
Yeah, and I think the best way to really find out how your body works, or, you know, prime the pump, like you mentioned, is to just do that self-play and explore and find out. Because when I first started playing with my G-spot, I was introduced to it. I think I've told the story a number of times by a boyfriend. But then when I, you know, after that, I was just fascinated. It's like, okay, let's see what I can do here. And I have a vibrator that's kind of curved. And it's one of these lovely Lilo vibrators that has all these different patterns and everything. So I put it up against where I thought the G-spot was and kind of had to search around and had it vibrating at the same time. So I don't know. I seem to require a lot of stimulation in everywhere. So
me too.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I'm a Hitachi girl and all that kind of thing. So that's how I kind of woke it up a little bit, I guess, is how I would put it, because I got a lot more stimulation from that than I did his fingers. But now with the Enjoy Pure Wand, that just takes so much pressure off, you know, the guy I'm with, his forearm and his fingers holding out, because, you know, it can,
right,
after
yeah.
a while you start wearing out, and the Pure One, it's just such a lovely tool. But the reason we got off on this whole track about G-Spot is because I was thinking, well, you know, if you knew before that you started doing the pegging and the prostate play and all that kind of thing, what it was like with G-Spot stuff, and then, you know, you saw the eyes roll up in the back of his head when you start doing prostate stuff, then it's like, oh, okay, I got it. But this is really interesting to me because it's like you're both finding out about this area of pleasure in your body at the same time. So this is mm-hmm. fun.
Yeah. Yeah, we are. We're just kind of discovering. And yesterday he said to me, you have to get a good harness. You have to find a good one. And I said, well, maybe he told me. And so now I just have to, you know, I just have to figure out which one I want and order it. But mm-hmm, I just mm-hmm. kind of take my time and make sure I get the right one. Because, you know, they're expensive. You don't want to buy something if you're not sure it's going to be a good one. So.
No, definitely. And I get the impression that you guys were so excited about trying it out with that trip and everything that you didn't take a lot of time in ordering the first one that you got.
No, we didn't. Yeah, no,
right.
We didn't.
And so what are the problems that you have with that one? I want all of our listeners to know, because
right.
So they
it's
won't
too
won't
complicated.
Do it.
There's too many like straps to tighten up, and there's just the little hole where the dildo goes in has rubber O-rings, and they're not the right size. And so if you're trying to put a dildo in and it's too small or it's too big, it doesn't fit in the O-ring.
Got it.
And it falls out, and if you don't get it snapped in right, you know, it's like, oh. So, and when you're in the heat of the passion of the moment, and, you know, you're like, fuck, I just want this to work.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
So, and a lot, and there have been a few times when we haven't been able to get it right. And so I've just used it, you know, done it manually with my hand in the dildo. And,
sure.
You know, he's like, oh, that works for me. I'm like, okay.
It does work. And it's actually something that I recommend that women do when they get really tired. Like if they just can't go anymore, the endurance isn't there, the strength, all of that
right.
is gone. And so fine, just take it out and use your hand, because he'll yeah. still get the same amount of pleasure. It won't be quite as fun right. fucking him, but yeah, it still works.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, when we're talking about this, I know that you and I have already communicated about the possible choices of different harnesses and toys and things for the future. But one of the things that just came to my mind is the rodeo panty harnesses, because literally you pull that panty on, you put the dildo in, and you're good to go. There's no buckles anywhere. And
ooh.
It's really comfortable. The disadvantages to it.
Yeah.
Disadvantages to it are that your lady bits are not exposed. So if you do have some kind of sexual play that you do where, you know, maybe you're fucking him for a while and then, you know, he puts his fingers there or what have you. If you want that exposed so you can touch it or he can touch it, that's not going to happen in the panty because it's covered up.
Mm.
And the panty doesn't have the ability to put it quite as far down directly against the clitoris. It's more up a little bit, so it's going to be resting more against the pubic bone. I haven't had any problems with it in terms of bruising the pubic bone, but
mm-hmm.
then again, I haven't had a whole lot of partners to really go at it with either. So there is that, but that's a really good possibility because those are the same as the spare parts harnesses. They're completely washable, they're sturdy, they're comfortable, you know, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
That's a possibility, because when you were talking about all of the straps and this and that, that eliminates
that
all of them.
Insane.
Totally.
Yeah.
And it also makes a situation, I'm just like, I sound like a salesman right now, but check this out. It also sets up a situation where you can wear those panties out to dinner, right? And he doesn't know that you have those special pair of panties on, because they're not going to show up as anything other than just a pair of panties. And you have the toy in your purse, right? And I don't know where to go with this little fantasy from there in terms of where you would do it, but it's kind of fun.
But just knowing that it's there is a turn on. I mean, the other night when I was telling about, you know, our interview.
Uh-huh.
We were talking about it, and he just said, you know, I'm getting like really hard right now.
Oh my God.
So I said, well, you know, let's do something about that. So I just kind of grabbed him by the belt on his pants and pulled him into the bedroom. And he was like, oh, this is just right after work. Okay, this works for me. So, you know, just
no time like the present.
No time like the present. Yeah. So that was a pleasant surprise.
That's
just
lovely.
Just talking about pegging makes him hard. So there you go.
Well, and that is a fantasy of a whole bunch of men who listen to this podcast and read the blog and things is that part that you said right there where you said, so I just kind of grabbed his belt and took him into the bedroom. There's so many men that are like, oh my God, I know that they just did that. And they probably got hard while they were listening to it because it's that whole role reversal thing of she's running the fuck, you know, she's gonna have her way with me. Right.
Right. And yeah. that is a turn on. I mean, I like being the boss and telling him what so mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good thing.
Well, women who enjoy being the boss seem to take to it more easily. I definitely get letters from women who are more submissive and really are kind of at a loss mm-hmm. when they start to do pegging and things. So then I give them the positions and things that are the easiest. But okay, so let's get back to, you told a story about the first time and you went a little too fast and it really wasn't quite everything you expected. And so how long mm-hmm. ago was that?
Oh, I think it was just about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
since then you've been doing the practice makes perfect?
Yeah. Well, and you know, you really have to plan ahead for pegging because, you know, you have to eat right and
yes.
you have to I think it's almost even better to have to peg before like instead of going out to dinner and coming home and, you know, and having sex, you should have sex first and then go out to dinner.
Yep, exactly.
But you know, we've had a few little messy incidents that weren't a whole lot of fun, and so we've kind of learned that if we're gonna enjoy the whole experience, then we need to. It's kind of changed our diet a little bit. I think we've talked about
that. I love hearing that
yeah.
because it's healthier. It's absolutely healthier. Mm-hmm. You know, to eat
yeah.
more of a high fiber diet, and you know the thing mm-hmm. about, you know, going out to dinner afterwards. Yeah, that's Dan Savage's thing that he tells everybody on Valentine's Day. He calls that you fuck first, and then
right.
you go out, because he said you can't imagine how many calls I get from people the day after the day after Valentine's Day saying, oh my God, he doesn't love me anymore. We went out and we did this and then he fell asleep, you know? Well, yeah, you go out and you have all that food and you probably have dessert too and you're drinking
mm-hmm.
and you come home
yeah.
and, you know, what is left?
Yeah,
and we're not even talking about, you know, trying to do pegging and keeping things
right.
clean, but yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
a big fan of the fuck first. Big fan.
Well, you mentioned Dan Savage. I mean, he's another one who really was helpful in our whole process too, because I was listening to Dan Savage and I actually called in a question to him about,
oh, you
know,
did.
How can I'm having problems. I love my husband and he's such a wonderful guy, but I don't have any sex drive and whatever. And then he brought in Joan Price to answer my question.
Oh my gosh.
And I was actually out walking in the morning and listening to his podcast. I heard my question come
you
on, and it was
yours.
The weirdest thing.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
I texted my husband, and I said, oh, my God, I asked that Dan Savage a question, and he's actually answering it right now, you know, on this podcast. It was hilarious. But
that's awesome.
But, yeah, he's awesome. He really is.
And there's, you know, everybody listening out there, too, this is a perfect example of going to the doctor and checking it out when you have that loss of libido, because mm-hmm. there are solutions out there. And the very first thing to do is at least find out if it's that, because mm-hmm. your story is so great about how all of a sudden, you know, it's just sort of changed your life again. and made that something that not only was it on the table and sex resumed, but wow, just the whole thing about talking. And I know that a lot of that was from Joan Price's book and things, but mm-hmm. what a great time to sort of not just resume having sex, but to explore it even further, because communication is so foundational.
Well, and I think what's one of the things that's really important is not talking about sex and making love and everything like in your bedroom. The best place to talk about it is like when you're out, like walking or at dinner or whatever, when you're out anywhere, just, you know, when you're, you know, in the privacy of, you know, just the two of you. Mm-hmm. But we, you know, we'll be having a glass of wine at a restaurant or something and just start talking about the latest, you know, the latest. He's got quite a few interesting Tumblr sites that he likes, and mm-hmm. he shared some of those with me, and we start talking about that when we're, you know, out on a walk or out having dinner or something, and by the time we get home, we're like ready to just bang each other.
I totally agree. There's something about, mm-hmm. and also there's something about approaching your partner when you're in bed that just seems a little too vulnerable or pressured, or I'm not even sure what word to put in there, but those are two decent mm-hmm. ones. And mm-hmm. that's what I tell people. So you need to sit down, you need to talk about sex, but don't do it in the bedroom. Do it in like a, I don't know, it's funny to have it sound this way, but do it in a neutral area, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where, you know, nothing can really happen, but you can really be open and communicative with each other about what you'd like to do to each other, or mm-hmm. what you want to do to each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So after all this time, what position is your favorite and what is his favorite?
Well, I would have to say that I like, I guess it would be, I don't know, doggy style from uh-huh. behind, just because I would really like to do it face to face.
Uh-huh.
Because I would like to really be able to see his face, but it just seems like I have more control of the situation if we're doing it. I hate this doggy style, just sounds so weird. But
yeah, that's what it is.
But yeah, that's what it is.
So you like driving the bus then?
I do. Yeah, I do.
I heard that on a comedy
routine. The other night we were out somewhere and I told him about the armless chair. What's
right.
one
mm-hmm.
called? Yeah. And I said, well, we're going to probably have to start looking for something like that, because you can do a whole lot of things with that chair.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
he said, we'll have to start hitting some garage sales or something.
That's the place to find it. Yep. And you need a sturdy one. Make sure it's sturdy.
Yeah.
And ideally make sure it has a high back, because mm-hmm. if you picture the one person sitting on the other person's lap, the easiest way to kind of not just hold on, but also to be able to move a little bit independently if you're the person sitting, is to have a high back on the chair. That's so that mm-hmm. there's a place to hold.
Yeah. Hold on.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it works really wonderful for pegging. It, you know, different mm-hmm. body types, it works better or worse, but it also is a lovely position for just regular old PIV, penis and vagina sex. It's really mm-hmm. fun. I love it. So, yeah. A chair with no arms, absolutely. I wrote a little mm-hmm. short story about that, actually, about being in the hotel and calling down and asking for an arm with no chairs and making up some excuse about, I'm doing a lot of desk work and this one just doesn't work for me. And the guy bringing
is
it
that
up.
Is that on your blog post?
I think it's on my podcast. I don't think it's on the membership ones because it's just a short. I will find it and I'll put the link up for everybody okay. listening so that they can read that little short story. And I'll mm-hmm. put it up when I post this this podcast. But yeah, right. The chairman. Okay. I named it the chairman.
The chairman, right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, I was trying to remember the name of that. Chairman.
And so is his favorite doggy too, just because that's where you're having the most fun and it works the best, or?
I think so, because we just haven't had a whole lot of luck trying other ways. And it's, you know, you really get yourself into some interesting contortions sometimes when you're trying to do the face-to-face, because if he's a little shorter on one end and taller on the other, then I don't know. It's like I have to get a step stool sometimes, and that can be kind of awkward. So,
well, so, sometimes those cushions just are really worth $1 million,
right?
Because that way you can adjust the height of his hips. And another factor too is how flexible he is or isn't, because to do missionary and be face to face, if you actually are, you know, do missionary and hold the legs up and then try and kiss, yeah, he needs to be pretty flexible.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Well, we were looking at some of those wedges the other day, and probably going to be placing an order soon.
Well, those are so much fun. Oh my gosh. And have you tried cowboy, where you just lay down and he rides you?
No. And that was
one of the things
we need to try. Yeah.
Because that can be very intimate. That way you're going to be able to watch him.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be able to watch his face. So are there any mirrors or anything where you can see his reaction when you're doing him doggy style?
No, not right now.
Mm-hmm. You're like, not yet. Making a list here. Okay, we're going to do the cushion and the mirror. And this is great.
Well, we'll be pretty much childless after next year, so we're just learning all this stuff so that when our kids aren't in the house, we can really go wild.
Really run around naked and do it wherever you want.
Well, that's what my husband loves. When the kids are gone, he just walks around naked all the time. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the best part of the pegging experience for you? What part of it is your favorite part?
Well, when I've started out real slow and everything's going along just really, really good, and you kind of start picking up the thrusting a little bit faster, and he starts to moan and just say, oh, that's my favorite part. Kind of right before he comes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he'll say, you know, can you stroke me while I'm, and it's kind of hard to reach around, but I do, because it turns me on too.
Sure.
So it's kind of weird because, you know, the penis isn't always like hard and erect at all when you're being pegged, and that's kind of interesting. But, you know, it's a turn on for me when he says, because I like to watch him masturbate himself. And
yeah.
I told him that one morning when we were just kind of lying in bed, and I said, you know, I really like to watch him masturbate. And he's like, you do? I said, yeah. And I said, you know, I think it would be kind of fun if we both, you know, watched each other. And he was like, oh. So I can kind of surprise him sometimes with the things that I'm interested in. So
that's awesome. I love watching as well. And part of the reason I love watching is because it just gives me so many clues about how a man likes to have his cock handled. You know, every once in a while, like if I'll be giving a blowjob and not really seem to be getting to where I want him to be, I'll just stop for a moment and I'll say, show me how you jerk off. And he'll stroke for about 15 seconds, and I go, okay, I got it. And I'll resume, and I'll just move things around or change things so that I'm mimicking more what he usually does to his cock. So, well, the cowboy thing, the cowboy position, if his knees can handle it, every once in a while people's knees give him problems in that position, but if he can do that, see, then his cock is right there and you can also watch him. So that's one of the things I love about that position, is the intimacy of face to face, but without the difficulty of the whole missionary thing, which can be a very advanced position, can be difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you on that one.
Mm-hmm. And it is interesting to handle a soft cock. It's sort of like, okay, what do I do with this?
What do I do? Yeah. But when you know how much good is happening on the other side, it all works out.
Oh, yeah. Fine. So has he had any prostate orgasms or hands-free sort of experiences?
I think so. You mean like when I'm pegging him?
Right. When you're pegging him, has he had what he would call or describe as a prostate orgasm without any kind of cock stimulation?
Yes. Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. And it's, I kind of like just the manual, massaging of his prostate too, because I can really tell when he's coming. And
oh my God, yeah. That's just the most amazing feeling to feel that throbbing underneath your fingers. Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, I totally love that. So have you had any orgasms while pegging him?
I have not.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't bother me.
Yeah, same here. Me neither.
I'm more concerned about concentrating on him than I am on myself. And I have this, the harness that I do have has a little spot in it, a little pocket in it for a bullet vibe. But I, first time I used it, I forgot about it. Second time I did it, I forgot to, like, turn it on. And I just thought, you know, this doesn't really matter. I don't really care.
You really are concentrating on his pleasure.
Yeah.
So do you guys usually do a thing where the pegging is, like, the pegging night is all for his pleasure, or do you get yours before or after, or how do you work that out?
Well, sometimes I get mine before.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes after he's been pegged, he's just so, like, spent.
He's done. Yeah, got it.
Yeah, he's done. So, and then sometimes it's just, which is really nice, sometimes it's just all about me, and he doesn't really care, which is pretty nice.
He just wants to
please me, and he's like, you know, I'll get mine. You know, I just want to give you yours. So that's kind of nice.
Very nice.
Yeah, he's a good one.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, and this is right along the lines of what I tell people about. The situation I so often encounter is the man that wants to convince the woman to try it. And one of the things that I do tell them is, you know, rock her world sexually. So
That's
almost to the point where, you know, she can't help but go, oh my God, after you did all that to me, okay, what do you want? Because let's talk about what you want, because that was amazing.
And that's right.
Not everybody's going to react that way, but I think a good partner, a giving partner, will absolutely react that way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
GGG, as Dan Savage
that's
says.
Exactly it. I know. And it's so nice too to know ahead of time. For me, anyway, speaking just for myself, it's so nice to know ahead of time. It's like, okay, so tonight is just all about you. And so you can just sort of forget that I'm even thinking about having an orgasm. Just forget it, because this is going to be all about you. And that allows such relaxation and takes all the pressure off and, puts me in a total different headspace. It's nice.
It really does. Yeah, it really does. Very, very nice.
So do you guys schedule pegging at all? Or just kind of say, well, how about this Friday?
Yeah, it's usually like that.
Mm-hmm.
Lately he's been so busy with work and everything that it's just like, we really do have to plan ahead, but right now it's like, we have to get the right harness. I can do it, you know, manually with the dildo and stuff. That's not as much fun, but we really have been, looking at different harnesses and stuff and trying to figure out what would be the best, most comfortable, practical, you know, so, and it's an investment, so we want to make the right investment.
It is. It totally is an investment. Yeah, as a friend of mine said a long time ago, buy once and buy quality. That it's never a bad investment when you buy quality the first time, because inevitably you get the bend over cheap kits and, you know, use it for a few months, maybe even 6 months max, and go, okay, now I'm ready for another one. Well, you know, you could have put that toward the first one.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what we want to do. So you could actually,
I'm getting this little devious plot in my head. You could, like, you know, feed him the right type of diet to eat the day before, right? Because you guys already know about that and you've already changed your diet. Mm-hmm. So you could make sure that that's what you eat the night before, and then just be ready for him with the new harness when he comes home from work and just bend him over the back of the couch. Of course, that's my fantasy.
Mm-hmm. That would be a really good surprise to see.
The kids would have to be gone, clearly, but...
Oh, yeah. Well, and I think part of it is I want to buy my own, because I want, you know, in the past, he's bought different sex toys and stuff for me.
Oh.
And I looked at him and was like, what is that? You know, and I like kind of having the control there, too, like knowing, buying something and then having him go, oh, you got that yourself, kind of thing. So Yeah, a little ownership in my own pleasure.
Yeah, and this is where I like people to work together too, because there's so many things to consider, even down to the finish on the dildo. Like the really smooth ones, some men prefer those just because the in and out is so much easier. And some of them have a matte surface, so to speak. And some men love those too, because there's a little bit of extra sensation, the exact type of sensation that drives the guys crazy who love the smooth ones. And then you're talking about realistic or not. And then if it's not realistic, what's your favorite color? And okay, if you get that far, then it's like, do you want a pronounced head on it? It's like, there's so many decisions. I really like the whole pronounced head thing, because when I have, I mean, even with vaginal, but also when I've received anal, there's something about that moment when the head clears the sphincter and it goes inside, that it's like intensely pleasurable as well as this relief, because it's like, oh my God, okay, now it's in. And those two things combined are just wonderful. And I think that's one of the things they're trying to mimic when they have the dildos with lots of waves on them, you know, is that is each time that you push a little further, it mimics that same when the head first goes in, because it stretches that outer sphincter and then makes it go back down again. But I don't think the ones with the waves are meant for the real, you know, enthusiastic in and out. I can't see how that would work, but I can't say I've tried it either. So, but lots of decisions to be made, definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
Some people get freaked out when they look too realistic, and some people, that's the whole point. No, I want something that really looks like it. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's see, what else did I have to ask you? So did anything happen during all of this that really surprised you when you first started pegging? You know, was there anything that you just totally didn't expect?
Probably I just didn't expect that it was going to be as intense for him as it was. And I guess I understood that when, you know, I understood his wanting us to do pegging for so long, because it was very intense for him. And he was just like, oh my God, you just have no idea how much I love you and how happy I am.
No.
I'm like, geez, why didn't I start doing this 10 years ago instead of last year? But
wow.
I think you just have to get to a certain point in your marriage where, you know, you just start talking to each other about it. And
hopefully, yes.
And I think that I think pegging is becoming more talked about than it was like maybe 5 years ago. I think people are becoming more interested in learning more about it. And I think that the more education, the more things like you do, to get it out, because I think that a lot of couples like my husband and I, we're older and we know that it can get better. I don't know if you saw that Huffington Post the other day about Helen Mirren.
Helen Mirren. I did see that. Yes.
Yeah.
Best sex ever. You know, and she's 60 something. Yes.
Right. Right. And I think that is because as our generation has gotten older, we just don't accept that this is the way it is, and sex has to be over with it by a certain age. We just don't accept that, and we find ways to make it better. And I think the whole exploration of prostate stimulation and even, you know, anal sex for women and stuff is being talked about more, and that's for couples that are exploring it more than they might have in the past. And
absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think that just the fact that people are talking about sex more, I mean, it's still, you know, hit and miss in different parts of the country, clearly, but there's just a whole lot more conversation going on about sexuality. And I know that the younger generation is much more open to it and talking about it and at ease with it, and probably suffers a whole lot less from any of the taboos and the expectations and the sex negative expectations that our generation grew up with. And I think that's sometimes why sex gets so good when we get older, is because we're finally going, you know, I don't give a fuck anymore. I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to do what feels good. I don't care what people think, because this is awesome. But the younger generation, you know, here I am talking to that young lady at UCLA, and her saying, "Oh yeah, there's, you know, a bunch of girls here that love doing this." And but she also did say, you know, you should come down here and teach a class, because there's still, unfortunately, quite a prevalent attitude of, "Oh, he's gay. Oh, I don't do that because that would make him gay." So I'm still trying to talk to her about going down and teaching. I'm not sure if it's going to work out or not, but anyway, that would be indicative of how the new generation that doesn't have to deal with what we had to, and is also just so much more open to and knowledgeable about stuff and willing to try it out. I love the way that things are moving, definitely. And for the older generation, the whole prostate health issue is what I'm trying to put front and center, because so much of that is so unknown. And, you know, those studies have been done by the Aneros people, that the prostate massage works wonders for swollen prostate. And I think one of the things I heard a quote about is a urologist who said, you know, the very best thing you can do for your prostate is have an orgasm every day.
That's the best thing you can do. That's what my husband said to me. Well, you know, it's a healthy prostate, you know, to have an orgasm every day makes a healthy prostate. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe not every day.
Like, until you walk in, I'm jerking off. He's like, I'm working on my prostate, okay?
Yeah, right.
Trying to make sure I have a healthy prostate.
Right.
Well, when I did it.
Well, I think there's probably a lot of older men that would have had much healthier prostates if their wives would have been more interested in helping them achieve that.
Absolutely. Well, and that's actually, I mean, I've told the story, but it deserves to be told so many times, about the Aneros company, that it was a couple who developed this device that meant to be used solo, and men constrict their sphincters and it massages the prostate. And that's what it was meant for, is for a healthy prostate, and actually to treat BPH, which is swollen prostate. It stands for benign prostatic hyperplasia. And they did a study. It was a 2-year study. There was like 250 guys, and like 95% of them experienced a decrease in symptoms. The symptoms of BPH are usually urinary difficulty, because the ureter tube goes smack through the middle of the prostate. So when the prostate swells, then you have difficulty in urination. You can't empty your bladder. And so some percentage of them had a definite reduction in symptoms, but a whole bunch of them had a complete elimination. And so this is something that just blows my mind, that the studies out there, and this should be, okay, I don't often do shoulds to people, but this should be the very first thing that is tried when a man presents with swollen prostate, because now they give ineffective and potentially damaging medications that, I mean, you look at the side effects, and side effect is like, oh, you could have erectile dysfunction for the rest of your life if you take this. Oh, gee. That sounds like a wonderful thing. Or they get into there with a laser and they carve around the ureter tube.
Ew, God.
I actually know somebody who the nerve that controls knowing when you have to go pee, having the sensation of having a full bladder, and so I got to go take a leak, right? That got nicked, and so now he doesn't have that sensation anymore.
Oh my God.
Well, yeah. And so anyway, all these things are going to go wrong. And it's just something that's so simple. But then to have that company start out that way, and then all these guys that were doing the study started reporting some side effects, and they were orgasmic side effects. And so kudos to the company, because they took a good long look at it, I guess, and they went, there's some possibilities here. And to this day, their two independent websites are from the same company. One is called High Island Health or highisland.com. Can't remember which. And it's all looking professional with very conservative, and you won't find the word orgasm there anywhere. Uh-huh. And Aneros is all black and red, and there's a whole freaking forum of men there talking about all the different kinds of orgasms that you can achieve with the Aneros products. So, right.
What's the website?
I know. I'm going to spell that for everyone listening and for Sue. Aneros, A-N-E-R-O-S, Aneros.com. And back, you know, if you've listened to my podcast, you've heard me talk about how I went and did the panel. I moderated the panel both in L.A. and also in D.C. I moderated the ass panel. So one of the people on that panel both times was C.T. Schenck, who is CEO of Aneros. And he and I have talked a lot. because our products overlap so well. And he told me the whole story of that company. And it was just, I'm so charmed by it. But I'm also really kind of rabid about getting this information out there because it can help so many people without the, you know, mm-hmm. side effects of medication and the invasiveness of surgery mm-hmm. and things. And right now, swollen prostate is an epidemic in this country. You know, men mm-hmm. 50 years old have a 50% chance of getting it.
Yeah.
And what it seems like is that it's sort of a stasis. It's a stasis that's in that part of the body that creates a problem with just there's no flow and everything gets all clogged up and things are just not happening. So, mm-hmm. yeah. I've also heard men tell me that after pegging for a few days, this doesn't happen with every guy out there, of course, but after pegging for a few days, it's almost like their cock is like 10 years younger. You know, they can get harder easier. It gets harder, period.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, longer before they come. And it's like it takes 10 years off of the life of their cock in terms of how it reacts, which I think is all about getting circulation and everything working down there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, I agree because it's, you know, there's nothing you want your man to have more than a healthy prostate.
Indeed. And, you know, the only mention of it when I looked up prostate massage on the internet, you really have to dig pretty far. And there's also what appears to be attempts by pharmacology, like Big Pharma, to dissuade people from doing it by putting the fear of whatever into them.
Oh.
I mean, they literally mm-hmm. talk about situations that you would have to be so idiotic to do. You clearly don't put anything sharp in there, but they, you know, give
yeah.
that as an example. It's like, no, when you're massaging something, that doesn't involve sharp things, because mm-hmm. so there's no chance that you're going to puncture things. But I did when I was on probably looking at about the third or fourth page in the Google responses or results, I found mention of how women in Korea are known to teach their daughters about prostate massage so that their daughters, when they get married, can keep their husband's prostates healthy. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the few mentions that I heard about it. And plus, you know, if you talk to older men, they will also say, well, yeah, you know, prostate massage was something done pretty routinely by general practitioners or their nurses, you know, to treat exactly to treat swollen prostate. So it's a shame that somehow that went by the wayside.
Yeah, really, because I mean, it makes sense.
Indeed. You know, maybe it was because of the sexual overlap, because maybe it was
probably
because of you know, guys would get hard during it. I don't know. I had my little fantasy of, okay, that's how you got into pegging, right? Is because you had the prostate check at the doctor's and it's like, woo. And so many men just shake their head at me and say, oh God, no, they are not gentle.
Well, I had read something about prostate examinations in doctor's offices are pretty quick, right? Because, you know, doctors know that there can be stimulation and they just kind of get in and get out and don't, you know, they don't want to stay in there.
Get in and get out. That's funny. But yeah, I could see their point. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So after all of this, what would you, Sue, what would you tell other women and couples, anybody who is thinking about trying out pegging? What would you tell them?
I would tell them to learn everything they can about it by listening to your instructional podcasts, because that's kind of how we got started. And just enjoy each other. Enjoy the process. Enjoy the exploration
mm-hmm.
and the education. And the big sex organ is the one between your ears.
Mm-hmm.
And learn everything you can. Find the best high quality toys, dildos,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever, and enjoy and have lots of lube and just enjoy pleasing each other. Enjoy the sighs and the moans that your partner will, you'll be able to hear, because you're just sending them into another plane. And that's really, it's really a wonderful feeling, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just, I see that look on his face and the smile and the moans. It's like, oh my God, you know, it's really, it's a turn-on. It really is. And mm-hmm. to know that you can give your spouse that much pleasure, it's cool. I mean, it's really, mm-hmm. it's a good thing.
It's amazing. I write a lot about that look. That's one of my very mm-hmm. favorite things, is that look of pure pleasure and it almost a surprise and an awe that there is so much pleasure, and then the complete vulnerability, and they're all mixed up together.
Yeah. Well, that's another word that comes to mind, is vulnerability. Uh-huh. Because and vulnerability and, oh God, what's the other word I'm trying to think of?
Well, there's vulnerability that's involved, and there's being the receiving, you know, the active mm-hmm. one, the passive one, mm-hmm. and there's vulnerability, but there's also just the whole thing about, you know, they're the ones that get penetrated. And so there's like this beautiful opening that I see, and it's not just the literal opening, it's an opening to the vulnerability part.
Well, and it's just the closeness that you feel.
The intimacy, yeah.
The intimacy. Intimacy. Oh my God. That's the word I'm searching for.
Oh, that's the word. Gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the intimacy and vulnerability of being so close to your partner and talking about it and communicating and then fulfilling that communication by having, you know, by doing the act mm-hmm. and seeing how much it's appreciated, mm-hmm. and it's very vulnerable. It's intimate, and it's just delicious. I mean, it's just great, you know. And mm-hmm. I think that if more women would open up their minds and realize that this is a whole new sexual area to explore. Mm-hmm. Then there'd be a lot more, you know, happy marriages and happy relationships. And it's been a game changer for us. I mean, really, it's really opened up a whole new area for us to explore each other. And mm-hmm. that's a good thing, you know. Because when you've been married for, you know, over 20 years, you know, things can get a little stale. And finding new thing to explore is great.
It is, especially kind of, you know, the words that come to mind, there aren't quite accurate or so late in the game, because, and it's not like so late in the game, like, so it's going to end any day now. It's more like, wow, we've been doing this for this long, and now there's this whole other area that we've never, ever even tried that is so mm-hmm. chock full of amazing experiences for both of you. Yeah, that's what I mm-hmm. love about pegging. I've gotten letters from people about, oh my God, this saved my marriage. And, you know,
yeah, well,
that's awesome.
Yours. Yeah.
It can, yes. But that first Definitely. Part about talking, I got to give Joan Price a shout out and a lot of credit. So anybody like 50 and older, Joan Price's book, Naked at Our Age, highly, highly recommended. I think mm-hmm. her story went mm-hmm. something like, you know, she started talking about it and had no idea that there was a huge audience out there of people
right.
who were so receptive and so needed this information that right. she wrote the book, and now she's going around lecturing everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, she wrote another book too that's more recent. It's called The Ultimate Guide to Sex After 50.
Yeah, very nice, and, very nice.
Yeah, it's got a lot of really good stuff in it, too. But and she actually talks about pegging in the first couple chapters.
Ooh, so, okay, she and I have to have a talk. I like this.
Yeah. That'd be great.
I need a link or something. We need to exchange links, clearly.
mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Hmm. Yeah, I think that...
I love it when you talk about your link-o-rama.
Linkorama, absolutely. I have fun with that linkorama. There's so many things to link to.
Mm-hmm.
There are that I don't know, spontaneously one time I said, oh my gosh, this is, you know, it's not just a, you know, these are the links. This is going to be a linkorama. And I thought, okay, that works. We're going to keep that. Kind of like, you know, starting the podcast with, you know, changing the world one ass at a time. That works.
Right. Yeah. Well, you are.
I get the pickup line for that sometimes. So it's like, okay, can I be that ass? Oh my gosh. Well, Sue, thank you so much for coming and doing the interview. I hope to do a whole lot of these. And we started with Tiffany a couple of weeks ago, and now with you. And I absolutely encourage men who are interested in being interviewed. I really want to hear from both sides as well, because the more that this gets talked about on a personal level, which I'm so appreciative of you doing with me today, the more people can hear themselves in it and kind of relate to it. You know, otherwise it's just this sort of abstract idea that you think is kind of perverted, or that you think your partner might think is perverted.
Well, and I think, you know, the more you talk about a good thing, the more people get interested and they go, well, you know, we've got to give this a try, you know, and
yes,
why not? So.
And the more accepted it becomes, here's the day
right.
that I'm looking forward to. The more accepted it becomes, then we're going to have the situation where somebody's going to say to a guy, dude, you like pegging? You know, that's so fucking gay or whatever. And he's going to say, and, you know, like, what's your point? It's awesome. I love it. It feels good. Go away. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I didn't even know about the gay thing.
That's so cool that you didn't have that reaction.
I didn't have that reaction at all. I mean, I knew that, you know, that's how a lot of gay men have sex, but I didn't really relate it to, you know, when my husband said that he wanted me to do that, I was like, oh, well, you know, let's talk. I wasn't like, ooh, that's gay, you know.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
So you didn't, you didn't suffer from that misconception at all. Boy, you're rare. You are. You know, I don't know. All I can do is guesstimate percentages, but I'm guesstimating about at least 75% of the women have some sort of concern about that.
Huh. Nope, not, well, of course, then I know my husband, too, and he's all man.
Oh, I think that was just a little bit of an advertisement there, or an online sort of on-air, you know, ego stroke. So I hope he enjoys that. My husband is all man. That was nice. So, thank you for coming on and talking with me. I really appreciate it, and love to have you back after you get the new harness and the new toys and maybe the cushion and all the, you know, the mirror.
Yeah.
Don't forget the mirror.
We'll revisit in another interview.
Exactly. So thank you, Sue.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Okay, all you listeners, I hope you enjoyed that interview. If any of you listening have an interest in being interviewed here on the podcast, please write me, ruby@peggingparadise.com, and let me know, or you can leave a message at 805-500-6544 and let me know you're interested, because, again, I want to do as many as I can of these, and the more people who do this from the more walks of life and viewpoints and, you know, different ways of making it happen and enjoying it and all those things, then the more people out there who are going to be interested in can relate to it and say, hey, that guy sounds like me, or that woman thinks just like I do. So please do contact me. I would love to interview you on my podcast. Thank you all for downloading and listening. And what podcast would be complete without me saying, happy pegging?